You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, no matter where you're listening across the state, around the country, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Childcare, a big, big issue here in Wisconsin, all around the country, but the Joint Finance Committee in Wisconsin held four meetings across the state over the last couple of weeks. The top three things that constituents, I don't know, the people that legislators work for, brought up were healthcare, childcare,
and education. Yeah.
That was right out of my head. We are delighted to be joined by Representative Renuka Mayadev, as she is an assemblyman from District 77. Good morning, Representative. Thank you so much for joining us from our world headquarters in Madison.
We can't hear you.
Which is odd because we did a sound check and...
Okay.
There we go. We did
it. Good morning.
Welcome, Representative. Thank you so much for joining us. We did obviously mention that the Joint Finance Committee held all these hearings and then essentially went back and stripped out everything that people they had heard from wanted in the next budget here in Wisconsin. So the Democrats have come up with their own package to try and address the childcare crisis. Before we get to that, Representative, I want to talk a little bit, first of all, about your decision to run for office. What was it that got you into politics? Because this is your first role as a representative.
Yes. This is the first time I've held an elected seat. So, you know, I'm a mother. I'm a daughter of immigrants. I've worked for women, children, and families all of my career. I had the great honor of working for Marion Wright Edelman, who was the founder and the civil rights leader who worked with Dr. King. She founded the Children's Defense Fund. So I worked for her for many years running the state office in Ohio. And, you know, she told me, when you see injustice, you got to stand up. And so right now, we're seeing it in our state and across the country. There's a lot of things that are happening. They're unjust, unlawful, unconstitutional. And so I had to stand up and fight for women, children, and families.
Was it daunting for you to decide to run? Because I think there are people listening, men and women, who are thinking, gosh, I would really like to do something, but I just don't think I can. What would you say to folks who feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, it is daunting, right? You have to raise money, you have to make connections, you have to get your name out there. I would say to folks that are interested, you know, start local. I think start with advocacy. Like I said, I worked as an advocate, and then I also worked in politics for the former governor of Ohio, the last Democrat as of now. Hopefully Ohio will have another Democratic governor, but I worked for Governor Ted Strickland of Ohio. So I started to get my feet well in politics, and I think folks can do that. They can do it at the local level, they can do it at the state level or the federal level. So, and there's so much advocacy, especially now, Jane. I mean, there's just so many things that we need folks to stand up and say, this is not right. This is not American.
And I think it's important that you pointed out that you can start small. It's not like everybody who jumps in, I'm going to run for senator. That's not necessarily the normal track that people follow when they get into politics.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you learn so much along the way. I mean, I have to tell you, my work, and I'm also a lawyer. So as I've worked in these fields of policy, advocacy, in politics, I've learned so much that helps me do my job today. And I think it's invaluable, especially at this time now, where we know understanding the law and understanding our norms and what we need to protect them is so important.
When you were campaigning last year and knocking on doors, it was something we always like to ask elected officials who, you know, have to go through that campaign process. What can be grueling, but you're knocking on doors, you're going to events, you're talking to people, and you're not just talking to Democrats, you're talking to Republicans, you're talking to everybody. And I always want to know, what are the things that actually, as Wisconsinites, as a group concern us, regardless of who you vote for. You know, we mentioned childcare, we mentioned healthcare and education, but are there other things that you heard from your now constituents who said these are the things that really are on our these are kitchen table items for the economy? Those kinds of things you heard.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I had people crying at their doorstep. Oh. More than my two hands can count over the months that I knocked on doors. And it was around abortion. It was around access to abortion. I had mothers and fathers say, this is critically important. And the fact that we still have that 1849 law on our books is appalling. It's alarming. And that's one of the top things that we're going to get rid of when we're in the majority. But it was really emotional. I had actually a devout Catholic, an older woman, come out of her door. I can remember the home clear as day. And she said, if I hadn't had, after I gave birth to my fourth child, and she knew she had five children, the DNC after I gave birth, after I had a miscarriage, before I had my other child, I wouldn't be here today.
She would have died.
She would have died. She would have died. And then her kids that she had already would have been without a mother.
Yep. And tragically, this has happened in some cases around the country, especially in states like Texas, where there are very few, if any, exceptions for the life of the mother. And I always go back to the fact that there is still nothing codified about how close to dead a woman has to be before she can get treatment. And that is one of the most disturbing things to me. Mm. It's just like, yeah, well, you think she's going to, you know, there is no, here is the point where we will give this woman the care that she needs.
It's alarming.
I mean,
it's shameful. And that's one of the reasons I ran. I worked at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. That was my last job before I ran for assembly. And I worked on maternal child health issues. And I saw how important having the full complement of tools are to an OB or OBGYN, and that they're scared to practice in this state because they never know if that toolbox is going to be ripped away from them. So they'll go to another state because there's other states that have the full tool set available. They can do their job. They can take care of patients. And they can feel good about the work they're doing and without being worried about getting sued or a threat of a lawsuit or their license being taken away. It's just, it's shameful.
If you're just joining us, Representative Renuka Mayadev is our guest. She represents Madison's 77th Assembly District. And I do think it's important to point out as well that at the recent Republican convention in Wisconsin, they did as a body vote in favor of that 1849 abortion ban here in Wisconsin. They're not letting that go. No. They're still very much supportive of that. I just think it's important that people realize that.
And I think something that you just said was important as far as your interaction with that woman, the devout Catholic, is that one, this is a far more nuanced discussion than certain politicians will allow to take place. And two,
absolutely,
a majority, I don't want to say numbers, but I think we see in the polls that more Americans, more Wisconsinites are in favor of access to this health care than people who are just saying, no, 1849 is a wonderful year to go back to. So it almost seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're not even listening to the people they represent.
Yeah. They're not. This is something the majority of Wisconsinites want to have the availability and access to. And they're just running their agenda and not listening to the constituents, not listening to the people. And this is men and women. This is every race, every religion, every socioeconomic status in our state. This is not one singular profile that you can point to that's against this. So.
Well, and I always find it interesting that the Republicans like to present themselves as pro-family and pro-child, and we want you to have babies, but yet it almost seems like once the child is born, then you're on your own. Then we're not going to give you any help, especially, again, this brings us back to child care. So there were special funding under the Biden administration that helped kept child care going in Wisconsin during the pandemic. That money is about to run out.
Yeah, that's right. So there were federal funds that were available that kept our providers' doors open, the lights on, so that folks could make sure that those slots were there, especially for those families that were working in jobs where they couldn't stay home during the pandemic. They had to go to work. They were our essential workers. And so now that funding's running out, and it's very important that we make sure that providers can keep their lights on, their doors open, and so that we as Democrats introduced this bill, the Child Care Counts bill, last week, and we need to get it done. They took it out of the budget, and we need to make sure that this singular bill passes.
What is within this bill, Representative? Where will this money come? How are we going to fund our child care centers?
Yeah, so $440 million of it is GPR. So state funding, and then the another $40 million is federal funds. So TANF funds, funds that come to us that we should be using and can use to support providers.
Because if I understand correctly, the money for this runs out at the end of June.
That's right, June 30.
When this money runs out, and if we cannot get anything passed in Wisconsin, we are looking at a massive amount of closures of childcare centers in Wisconsin, right?
That's exactly right, Jane. So 25% have already said they have to close their doors.
25%.
Yeah. Yep. 1/4. And in some areas, that might be higher, right? So that's, you know, an average. So, and about 60% have been really clear that they're going to have to raise their tuition costs. And families are already stretched thin.
Yep.
This is not something that is easy for families, majority of them. I would almost say all of them. I mean, the costs for childcare are enormous. And so that's going to be untenable.
And I think it's important also because you're right, childcare is very, very expensive, but it's not because childcare providers are all driving Mercedes. That's not the case. They're very low. The pay to work in childcare is very low. It's the insurance costs.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen the wages. I mean, the wages, the median wage for staff in childcare settings is between $7 and $13 an hour. That's the median wage. I mean, there is no other work that's so important, that's such high value work paid at such low wages.
I think it was Corrine Hendrickson who was either on our show or Pat's show who's saying, one of the things they're working towards is just being able to get enough funding so they can start the base pay at $13, which it's great. That's great. But it's also like they should be making more.
Well, again, we attach so much importance to children and taking care of our children and all of these things. But when it comes to pay for it, it's like, yes, well, maybe they're not that important.
Ask grandma and grandpa. They can come out of retirement.
Or just quit your job and stay home.
Yeah. Ladies.
It's ludicrous. I mean, are they not there? Maybe they must not be living in the same world we're living in, where most households have two people working, or if you're a single household, one person's working, maybe one, two, three jobs, right, to make the household budget work. And so this is not something that's in reality.
We're going to continue our conversation with Representative Renuka Mayadev. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball coming up about an hour from now, depending upon where you are listening. The Crew hosting the Red Sox. big hit from Christian Yelich last night at the game.
Walk-off Grand Slam,
yeah,
baby.
Walk-off Grand Slam was pretty great. The crew hosting the Boston Red Sox, our broadcast starts at 11:35, and you can listen live to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and also WBZH in Hayward. The crew hosting the Red Sox. Our broadcast starts today at 11:35. Right now, we're joined by State Representative Renuka Mayadev, represents the 77th Assembly District, and we're talking about a new child care measure that you are the author of, Representative Mayadev, in response to essentially the Republicans stripping out everything from Governor Evers' budget that would help support child care in Wisconsin.
And the question I have, as we spoke earlier about this, is that there are monies that are out there that will run out in June. Is there, at least being put together by Democrats, I don't want to sound like a downer here, but I'm going to rely upon Democrats. Is there a contingency plan for anything at all? Is there emergency funding? I mean, is someone going to propose maybe tapping into the surplus to cover it? But, I mean, as you said, if this goes through and that funding ends, a lot of businesses are closing in this state.
Yeah, I know that the governor's team and there's talks about this, but we just need to get this done.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. It is infrastructure. Families cannot get to work. Workers cannot get to work unless there's childcare. And I don't know of a bridge in this state that if it was fully out, it wouldn't be fixed as quickly as possible so folks could get to work, especially if that road led to a factory or a business place where workers had to use that to get there. We need to look at childcare in the same way. I just don't understand why this is always a fight. And women disproportionately take the burden of this,
yes.
Right? They drop out of the workforce.
Yes.
They can't continue their education. And We seem to always get the short end of the stick. I think there's the time is up, right? We need to get this done. We need to make sure the providers can keep their doors open. And the beauty of this is it's win-win. Businesses can have that reliable, stable workforce that they need to make their profits.
It would be great if every business was able to build in a childcare facility within their business. That simply is not where we are. There are, from what I understand, a few businesses who do actually offer on-site childcare, but that's mm-hmm. a rarity. That's a major rarity. And it also
yes.
seems to me, Representative, like the Republicans lack long-term vision as far as consequences go.
Yes.
It just doesn't seem like they. So if we do this mm-hmm. and we cut out this money and women have to start dropping out of the workforce, we already have a hard time filling positions. This isn't going to make that easier.
No, it's going to make it worse.
Right.
It's going to make it worse.
Yeah. And something you just said, it's a win-win. And I'm going to throw a third win in there. If they were to pass this, it's a win for business. It's a win for families. It's a win for them as politicians to go home and knock on the doors of their district and say, we saved thousands of businesses and it made it more affordable for childcare in this state because we passed this law, because we created this funding, because we did X, anything. Instead, they're going to go back to their district and someone can say to them, well, aren't you part of the reason why thousands of businesses closed in this state? To me, this, you got to go back. You want to campaign. You want to get reelected. And this is something
yes.
that seems like to me, and I'm not very smart, a no-brainer.
No, it is. It is, right? Because I hear from my Republican colleagues when I speak to them about it, their constituents want them to do something on this issue
yes.
too. Exactly,
yes.
Greg. And so this is a win-win-win, as you said. And one more win. Kids will be ready for school,
there
right?
you go.
When you're in congregate settings, whether that's a family childcare or a center-based childcare, you're with other children. You're learning how to get along, how to interact. When you're toddlers, you're ready for school. You've got early literacy skills
yep.
that are ready to be used. I mean, there's just so many wins. I could take up the whole show talking about all of the benefits of high quality early childcare. And so there's too many reasons for us not to do this.
Representative Mayadev, should people call their representatives? Does it make a difference?
Yes. Yes, especially if you live in Republican districts. I mean, the Democrats, this is something that's the top of our agenda. We want to get it done. We will get it done. The governor is with us. But I tell you, we need Republicans to understand this is a critical issue, too, and that they need to do have action on it.
You know, an easy way to find out who represents you is to go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put your address in there, click enter, and all of your representatives' information will come up, all the contact information, their phone numbers, their addresses, all of those things. Get on the phone. Make some calls. They do work for us.
And be nice.
Be nice, please. It's some young aide who is answering the phone. That's not the person you need to be yelling at or swearing at. We're very anti that.
Yes, be nice.
Be nice.
Be nice.
Absolutely.
Cordial, be nice.
Representative Renuka Mayadev, thank you so very, very much for your time. We will keep in touch, hopefully, and hopefully this will get somewhere. It would be great to see this go through.
Yeah.
We have news coming up next. When we come back, we're going to lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. The soundtrack when you were in high school. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also now leave a voice note if you have the Civic Media app. So maybe it's not convenient for you. Maybe you're in the middle of a meeting and you're listening and you shouldn't be.
You're like, Jane and Greg, I love you very much. I'm sorry. I'm just leaving a voice note right now.
It's a very important voice note.
Where are those figures? I don't know, but you're a great radio show.
But you can always send us a voice note as well if that is more convenient for you. Just download the Civic Media app. Coming up a little bit later on today on the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 in the 5 o'clock hour, Maggie's going to be breaking down more of the impacts of the Trump tariffs on small businesses and what that means for small business in Wisconsin. We've talked about this quite a bit as well. Small businesses are the backbone of our economy.
Or so they tell us
that's
every time they're campaigning.
Yeah, that's what we've heard. But join Maggie today from 4 to 6 p.m., our friend and colleague here at Civic Media. This is the portion of the show that we like to refer to as audio sorbet. Where we take a little breath,
yes,
take a little break away from the news and lighten things up just a little bit. This is not necessarily light. Rick Derringer, really accomplished guitarist who I had no idea he was that accomplished.
Yes.
But Rick Derringer has passed away at the age of 77. And we started talking about, there is one album that he had when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Just called Derringer. And I only played one cut on that album over and over and over and over again.
Was it that you listened to the album once and that was the only one you even, like, you don't?
No, I listened to the whole album.
Okay. It's just
this was the one that grabbed me. So, Calvin, can you play this clip from Rick Derringer, please? I'm 16 all over again. I danced better than this.
If ever there was an advertisement for the live stream, today's the day.
Don't watch.
Watch. Please watch.
What was your soundtrack? What was on your high school soundtrack?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. A song that you hear and you are instantaneously back in you're a junior.
Yeah.
Or you're a senior.
Yeah.
What is the song that puts you back in high school?
Driving
with your friends. It's a summer day. You're going to the beach. You're going to Lake Michigan.
Or you're just driving by yourself because you're just a tortured artist.
Was that the case for you, Greg Bob?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with tortured artist and not just, you know, dork.
What was in your high school? What would have been on your high school soundtrack?
For me?
Yeah.
So I was saying earlier, my high school soundtrack, and honestly, it would be grade school, middle school, and high school was defined by one band. Now, I've said it before, I am still a metalhead. I love metal music. Yep. I love all kinds of metal music. But for me, there was always one band that defined my experience of those years, and it was Metallica. And I know they were like, oh, he's going to play Enter Sandman or something, you know, like really accessible. No, I'm going to play this cut. Calvin? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jane. Get in it.
Mr. Metalhead over here.
Yeah, this is a song by Metallica off their first album.
Were you a very angry child?
I was a very sad child. No, that song's called Jump in the Fire off their very first record, which, by the way, Metallica's first record, celebrating its 42nd anniversary this year.
Seriously?
Yeah. So I love Metallica of all, and I'll defend their 90s output, but yeah, that song along with a lot of other songs, and also just like the songs of the radio. I was telling Calvin before that like my high school years, which was early to mid 90s, When I think of high school radio, yep, high school on the radio, I think of Green Day, I think of Soundgarden, I think of The Offspring, because they were on another
everywhere,
all the time.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that was just a snippet.
What is your song? What was on your high school soundtrack? What was on your high school soundtrack? The song that you hear immediately sends you back to freshman through senior mm-hmm. years, 855-752-4842. What is on your high school soundtrack? We're talking about this after the passing of Rick Derringer, mm-hmm. who passed away at the age of 77. And he became a star when he was a teenager.
Yeah, he was in, oh God, what was the name of the band he was in? I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, his Hang On Sloopy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I didn't know that before. And then he became like a 70s rock guy.
Yep.
Like,
he was a big
like
rock star.
Peter Frampton. Oh, the McCoys. He was in the McCoys.
Right.
And then after, you know, people were like, we're not going to buy your music anymore. He became a producer. He produced Weird Al's first five records.
And unfortunately, in a piece that I read this morning, Derringer kind of said that kind of stuck him as a novelty producer. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know if that was the best life choice, but he was a very accomplished guitarist.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Shizu on the live stream says that Evanescence or Linkin Park. It's like, tell me when you went to high school without telling me when you went to
exactly.
high school. And Jeff on the live stream also says, More Than a Feeling, Boston. I mean,
I am so with you, Jeff. Boston, for sure.
That debut record was a monster album. It's still everywhere.
It was huge.
Yeah.
I had the chance to see Boston, actually.
Really?
And
you had the chance? You had the chance?
I saw them when I was in high school. Boston and Aerosmith.
Was Aerosmith opening up?
I believe they were. I believe Aerosmith opened for Boston.
Amazing.
Yes. What is on your soundtrack? What is the soundtrack of high school for you? 855-752-4842. You just hear the song and it sends you right back. Casper in Madison says Garth Brooks, Alan Jackson, Pantera, Snoop, Ice Cube, Pearl Jam, and Metallica.
I was almost gonna play some Pantera, but I didn't. I would have just, the rock would have happened too much, and I would have walked out the door to rock outside.
Christine from Slinger, Sunny by Bobby Hepp in 1966. Calvin, take a look for that song, please, Sunny. It's a really sweet
Sunny.
Yes. Yes.
Bobby, more like Bobby Hepcat.
Thank you, Christine. What is your soundtrack, your high school soundtrack? You hear it and it sends you back. Roger in Stevens Point says it was Long Time from Boston. Another good Boston tune.
Yeah. Adam, listening in Oregon on WXCO, the entire Weezer Blue album. That's a seminal record for a lot of people. That debut album from Weezer, which is also, I think, 30 plus years old now.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. It's when you're like, hey, we're listening to Weezer on classic rock. You're like, no!
That means I'm this old. Maureen from Nina, Maggie May by Rod Stewart. He was huge.
He was huge.
He really was.
Yeah.
I was never a big Rod Stewart fan.
Either.
And I still don't think he can sing.
I love the intro to that song. And then once it turns into the Maggie Me part, I'm like, I'm done with this.
Doesn't do it for you.
No, no, not at all.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Today for Audio Sorbet, we are talking about your high school soundtrack. just one song or a couple songs you hear and it immediately sends you right back. Steve from Green Bay listening on WGBW, anything ska or punk. Even my yearbook quote was ska punk. I love that. I don't know what that means.
Ska music.
I know what ska is.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
The quote is ska punk. I would like more explanation.
Yeah, if you can, tell us what you quoted and what band you quoted in your yearbook from which ska band. So,
Stacy from Waukesha, listening on WAUK, The Eagles, Elvin Bishop, Charlie Daniels. Very good.
Ah, man, Charlie Daniels used to be cool, and then he became just a total weirdo. He went from standing against war and doing concerts for Jimmy Carter to like, Obama's a Muslim who's not born here.
Well, things happen when people get old. 855-752-4842. What is your soundtrack from high school? Connie from Portage is on the line. Good morning, Connie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Mine would be The Platters and Elvis Presley.
Okay, oh, there you go. Platters, that's great. Yeah. But it sends you right back, doesn't it, Connie?
Oh, when I hear The Great Pretender, I'm gone.
Thank you so much, Connie. Really appreciate it. Join us. What is your high school soundtrack? Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. What's yours?
Good morning. Yeah, being born in 85, I was in high school about 2000 to 2004. And we had a lot of Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears.
Oh, yes.
You know, that type of thing. The one song that transports me right back to high school is by Outkast. It's Hey Ya.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a fun song, actually, Brian.
Yeah. Okay. So
thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Steve from Green Bay. This was the quote he had by,
this is the ska punk quote.
Mm-hmm, very influential band, Operation Ivy. Conditioned to self-interest with emotions locked away. They call normal that I'd rather be insane. All right, that's when they gave us the license to put whatever quote we wanted into our yearbook. It's like you really
pushed it.
I had a Beatles quote, I had a Willy Wonka quote, and I think I had a quote from Hook because I just had no accomplishments in high school. So some kids were like, I lettered in varsity. I'm like, I did theater. Now let me talk about my life.
Here's my things.
Yeah.
What is your soundtrack from high school? Talking about this after the passing of Rick Derringer at the age of 77. For me, it was Let Me In. I immediately go back to being a junior in high school. Yeah. Ronnie from Horicon on WAUK, James Taylor. That was another one.
Yeah.
When I was an angst-ridden teenager, James Taylor, the Mudslide Slim album.
I was going to say.
I would play it over and over and over.
Angsty teenager doesn't really always equate to James Taylor.
It was. You get listen to the
album. It was angst and subtext.
Yes, exactly.
I just saw one. Allison Cudahy listening to WAUK. I heard through the grapevine. And at the time when that came out, there were like a bunch of versions. So you could, I mean, there was a Gladys Knight, there was CCR and Marvin Gaye. Like you had all different versions of just that one song.
Calvin, as our resident young person, we are curious to know what would send you back to high school when you hear the song.
I guess for me, it would be, so I'm a big rap fan, so I guess anything by Lil Wayne would be a big middle school. I remember the first album I remember caring about it coming out was actually came out when I was in middle school, but it was Lil Wayne's The Carter Four.
Oh,
and
yes.
It had this song on it. So,
and that's as much as you can play.
That's just about as much as I'm going to play. And I do genuinely like this music, but that being said, one of my goals of playing it when I was in high school was when I got my first car was to be as obnoxious as possible when driving out of the school parking lot.
I can see that doing
so
that.
So that's definitely part of it.
So you liked it for the obnoxious factor. That kind of played into it.
For sure.
A little bit. 855-752-4842. The soundtrack from high school. What's the song that sends you back? 855-75-CIVIC.
Lisa, listening on the live stream, REO Speedwagon.
REO Speedwagon. Whistler, Bobby Goldsboro, Honey. I remember that Whistler. Quiet Riot, Pink Floyd, The Wall. So many good ones. Hotel California and Angie. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this. Great, great fun.
Exactly.
When we return, we got to wrap things up. We can take a couple more calls if we take them real quickly. That we have This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Pigeon Quest Edition is on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Sweet mama.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter before we went to the break. We were talking about your high school soundtrack. Mm-hmm. What was on your high school soundtrack? Rick Derringer passed away at the age of 77. He did Hang on Sloopy. He did a lot more than anybody realized.
Rock and roll hoochie-coo.
Rock and roll hoochie-coo. So we were taking your calls about what was on your high school soundtrack. Just real quickly, we want to get to a few more. We have Buddy Holly from Frank and Delafield, Bob from Glendale, my high school soundtrack, Sabbath, Deep Purple, Doors, Zeppelin, and Jay Giles. Absolutely. And I actually thought that his name was Jay Giles.
It's Jay Giles.
It's his Peter Wolf is the I really thought his name was Jay Giles.
Well, you would think that it's called the Jay Giles Band.
Don't know where that came from. Richard from Waukesha, real briefly, what was your song that puts you back in high school?
Well, there was many, but Mr. Fantasy by Stevie Winwood.
By Steve Winwood.
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
Great.
One,
thank
Richard.
Thank you so much.
Also, Low Spark of High Heel Boys.
Oh, yes. Traffic.
Great, great,
great
song.
Great band.
Jip from Chippewa, you get the last word on this. The song that puts you back to high school.
Hello?
Jim, are you there?
Oh, can't hear you, Jim.
Maybe you're singing, Jim. We cannot hear you.
Oh, there you go.
Jim, you may want to try and give us a call back. But anyway, that was so much fun. Thanks, everybody, for taking part in that. It's getting late. It's 11:54. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from WISN Channel 12 here in Milwaukee. Sharif Pajay and Aaron Cooper from CNN with the story, but the headline says, watch, two wild pigeons try to stow away on board Delta Airlines flight. A flight from Minneapolis to Madison got delayed over the weekend after two pigeons somehow got on board Delta Airlines flight 2348. There were 119 passengers on board, five crew members. One passenger told CNN, it was bizarre. When I got on the plane, I heard a passenger tell a flight attendant, she thinks there's a pigeon on the plane. And I looked at her and I thought, what is she talking about? Sure enough, after he got buckled in, he heard a commotion a few rows ahead. Baggage handlers got called on board to get a hold of the pigeon. And the pilot even got on the intercom to tell everyone, quote, there's a wildlife situation on the plane, unquote. After the plane left the gate and was getting ready to take off, another pigeon showed up in the plane. It was strutting up and down the aisle.
As you do, because they paid for the upgrade.
Someone tried to grab the pigeon. That, of course, sent it flying, so he's flying through the cabin. Video taken by this passenger shows the pigeon flying as a passenger jumps up and tries to catch it in a jacket while a woman screams. After that failed, the bird ended up in the back of the plane. The pilot actually had to get permission to return to the gate, at which time another baggage handler, they're apparently really good at this, came on board and got a hold of the pigeon and removed it safely. In a statement, Delta says it appreciates the careful actions of our people and customers to safely remove two birds from the aircraft prior to departure. We apologize to our customers for the delay in their travel. The flight arrived in Madison about an hour later than scheduled. There is a video element if you would like to see it.
I just think it would have been fine if they left the pigeons on there.
Fly along?
Unharmed and unbothered.
You know what pigeons do when they're in mid-flight.
All birds do that mid-flight.
Yeah, that's why you don't want pigeons flying around the cabin.
I feel like they cause more of a kerfuffle by trying to handle the pigeons by just letting them, give them some peanuts, give them some earphones for the movie. Just let them do their thing.
I just like the visual of the pigeons strutting up and down the aisle going, oh yeah.
Do something, son.
Oh yeah, what are you going to do about it? Do something. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, it is Thursday. Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus.
It's Thursday already.
A law review will be here at 9:35. Yeah. There have been several developments in cases ruling against the president and some of his attacks on law firms around the country who represented people that he didn't like. Yeah. So we'll have some updates about that with Jim Santel tomorrow morning. Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine. And the Journal Sentinel's
J.R. Ratcliffe
will be here to talk all things sports balls.
You
keep me on track.
I love talking about sports balls, especially when the Brewers win. And they could sweep this series against the Red Sox, which sounds like a big thing, but their record is almost the same as ours.
That would be great to see.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Again, on certain select stations across Civic Media, we will be broadcasting today's game. When the crew host the Red Sox, our coverage starts about 11:35. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Todd Alba takes over 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, and Pete Schwabba wraps it all up with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't go away. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.